The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is an injury show. We are injury attorneys. We're glad to bring the show to you to teach you about a different injury subject each week. And by the way, if you want to re-listen to any of these shows or listen to our other shows, just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's real easy to navigate. Just click on KOA. And you can see the subject titles there, and you can listen to the show. And they're divided for your convenience into halves. And so you can listen to the first half, second half, and that's the way we set it up from our inaugural show to now. You know that we cover different injury subjects each week. Our usual and typical example is a car crash. It could be a truck car crash, a bicycle car crash, a pedestrian car crash, injuries. You're injured in a car crash, and so what do you do? Maybe the ambulance is called, EMTs take you to the hospital, to the emergency room, and then you start treating with your doctors. And what about the at-fault driver and that insurance company? The at-fault driver basically goes on his or her merry way, doesn't really have much decision-making left, and as we've told you in one of our shows previously, that the insurance company for the at-fault party then makes all the decisions that's going to affect your life. So today we're going to divide a crash into two basic parts. We've talked about it a little bit before in the past, but you have to prove liability. That's one basic main part. Then you have to prove damages. That's your injuries, damages, and losses. We've broken those down, and we're going to continue to do so. But liability, we're going to focus on liability today. And you seem like that says might be a easy subject, but liability. So there's a doctrine in Colorado called sudden emergency, and that's what we're going to be dealing with today. Snow and ice is our main example, but there are other types of sudden emergencies. Why don't we just give a little bit of history of the sudden emergency doctrine, because that's how insurance companies try to avoid responsibility and liability. They call it a sudden emergency.
Yeah, if your attorney's still talking sudden emergency from the plaintiff's side, from the injured person's side, you need to address your attorney or direct your attorney to recent case law that has, in a way, not completely, but in a way, abrogated the doctrine of sudden emergency. You'll still see defense lawyers trying to use it. You'll see arguments being made about it. You'll see people saying that, look, sudden emergency is still viable. It's just in a different form. But basically, I think 30, 35 years that I've been practicing for the most of it, we lived with this claim of sudden emergency and this doctrine of sudden emergency where people tried to excuse themselves for their own negligence, for not doing what they were supposed to be doing, for not driving appropriately, for not making sure they were safe on the roads by claiming they were faced with a sudden emergency. Now that's been abrogated. You don't really use the term sudden emergency. But that doesn't mean necessarily that it's gone. It just means that the defense is going to try and bring it up in a different form or in a different way. And you have to be ready for the fact that they're going to do that.
If the defense is going to bring it up in a different way, and they always do, then the defense attorneys are hired by the insurance company. We've covered that. They're hired by the insurance company. The insurance company makes all the decisions as to financial matters, as to how much they're going to pay you or not pay you, or how they're going to try to beat you or diminish or reduce or mitigate your injury claim in dollars down to nothing or next to nothing or very low so that you walk away. And they want you to leave, and they want you to go home and don't bother them anymore. And so you need to know the rules. You need to know the rules of the road. That's what we discuss here. Sudden emergency. This is a big subject. You can deal with snow and ice. They claim it was a sudden emergency. You're rear-ended. Boom. You're hit and your life changes. And you have medical treatment and medical bills and expenses, and maybe you can't work for a period of time or forever. But they claim it was a sudden emergency. They claim they don't want to pay you anything. And so this sudden emergency doctrine can apply to snow and ice, which we're going to break down to its component parts today. But it can also apply to other things like animals crossing the road, deers crossing the road, dogs crossing the road, phantom cars. Let's talk about that.
Well, it's just about anything that happens on the road. It can be a condition that causes you to pass out. But the bottom line is when you're dealing with that particular event that occurred that resulted in the crash, you've got to go past the idea that it's a sudden emergency, and you have to determine whether or not the person is driving appropriately, whether or not they're driving appropriately under the circumstances they were faced with. The defense always wanted that additional jury instruction, and it started out with common law, where that instruction was being given. It seemed to have a life of its own until finally our Supreme Court came out and said, well, wait a minute, this is of minimal value to be talking about sudden emergency. It can confuse the jury, and you already get that instruction anyway, because the question isn't really whether or not you're faced with a sudden emergency. The question is, are you driving reasonable under the circumstances? And that's the question that has to be asked. Are you driving reasonable under the circumstances? And with sudden emergencies, you have to a lot of times go back, and you have to start back, not just when the person started driving, but prior to that. You have to go back a lot of times to the last time they were at the doctor, or the last time they got health care, or how they were taking care of their bodies, or whether or not what they were doing. The sudden emergency, and most certainly somebody wouldn't say, hey, I was faced with a sudden emergency because I was drunk and all of a sudden I couldn't properly drive my car. That's not a sudden emergency. But yet people might want to argue that it's a circumstance they were faced with, that they had a reaction to being too drunk, as in falling asleep or drowsy, and that caused them to be faced with a sudden emergency. Well, we started saying you can't use excuses that are really not excuses to avoid the responsibility when you've hurt somebody.
This is complicated case law, and case law is the common law. We taught you before that there's statutory law passed by the legislature, and then common law, case-made law, that we inherited from England, and those are the cases. Those are case decisions, court decisions, and they are binding law, and that's what we're talking about here. And so for years, the insurance company had leeway, and their lawyers had leeway to implement the sudden emergency jury instruction. And why do we talk about jury instructions here? Brad just mentioned it. What difference does it make to you as an injured victim? That's the law that's going to be applied in your case. The jury instruction the judge gives is the law. So most good lawyers know what the jury instruction at the very beginning in your legal game plan, because that's where you need to navigate to and through. You need to know the jury instruction. That's the law. And so we're talking about sudden emergency today. But so you're rear-ended and you say, geez, this wasn't my fault. Surely some insurance company is going to pay me for my medical bills, pay me for my losses. They're going to look for a way to beat you. They're going to look for a way to defeat you. Sudden emergency. Now, you can't create your own sudden emergency and then call it a sudden emergency. Brad just alluded to the fact that you're driving drunk. That's not a sudden emergency. So we have the Kendrick versus Pippin case and the Young case, and then we're going to get into the Bedour case, which the Colorado Supreme Court then abolished the doctrine of sudden emergency, but we're going to tell you how the insurance companies still try to use it. And so, Brad, let's just touch a little bit about these sudden emergencies, because these phantom cars, somebody claims, well, there was a car that made me swerve, there was a car, and that car didn't stay around, and nobody knows who that car is, and there was no contact made, but it caused me to hit you.
That becomes quite a challenge when you're dealing with the work we deal in, and when you're dealing with somebody who's been hurt from crash, trying to address the fact that they're dealing with a phantom car, and a phantom car did this or that. Nobody saw this phantom car. Nobody can say what it did, except for the person who's trying to blame it, their responsibility, or push their responsibility off on a third party. Most of the time, you're going to be able to defeat that by arguing that there's more to a phantom car than just a sudden emergency. What was going on? How were you driving? How did this phantom car come up and cause you to have to swerve or cause you to have to do something? Why did nobody else see it? What was going on with this car? But the bottom line is should you have anticipated that? Should you have been able to understand that this driving might occur? What were you doing as you were driving down the road, and did you take an appropriate action when it occurred?
Right. We're talking about jury instructions, and that usually comes in a jury trial and instruction by the court to the jury as to the law in the case. But you and your attorney need to use the jury instructions, i.e. the law, in your case as to sudden emergency in this show, at the very, very beginning. That gives you part, not all, part of the game plan. You know, you can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We represent injured victims all over the state of Colorado. Brad, sometimes people say, well, they crossed the center line. That was a sudden emergency. Or there was wind conditions. That was a sudden emergency. Or a dog ran across the road and had to stop. Or a good one on the highways is deer. And so you have to know how the sudden emergency doctrine plays out.
Right. You do have to know how the sudden emergency doctrine plays out. And a lot of times, if they're arguing sudden emergency in those circumstances, that they're probably going to be designated a non-party at fault, trying to claim that non-party is at fault by having caused the crash. And once again, you need to, as the lawyer then, sit down and go in detail and with specific information as to what happened, and then find if there's anybody who can verify this person's statement. One thing you've learned when you do this long enough is that people try and find excuses to avoid responsibility for the fact they hurt somebody.
And that includes insurance companies every time, all the time. They want to reduce the payout. They want to keep the money in their claims department, their insurance company, and that's exactly how they do it and what they do. You need a legal game plan. You can get one at Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. Sudden emergencies. So you say, well, it's a liability question. It's easy because somebody rear-ended me or somebody ran a red light and T-boned me. So why am I paying attention to this? Why does this matter to me? Snow and ice. What do you do in snow and ice? Is that a sudden emergency? Next up, Bell and Pollock, Snow and Ice, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell with the law firm of Bell and Pollock. This is Your Legal Minute. We're talking about a legal game plan. What do you mean a legal game plan? You know, you have game plans in sports. You have recipes. You have to follow the instructions. You have directions, how to put things together. You have architectural blueprints on construction projects. You don't just guess. Bell and Pollock gives you a legal game plan based on your injuries, your accident, the way it happened, how you were injured, your pre-existing medical condition. How do you prove your claim? You need a legal game plan. Look, if you got a neck injury, that's a different legal game plan. If you're going to need neck surgery, that's a different legal game plan. If you're going to have low back injections, that's a different legal game plan. If the insurance company is going to deny liability and blame you for the accident, that's a different legal game plan. It's free. Bell and Pollock, in our free initial consultation, championsofthepeople.com.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Injury Show, Champions of the People, and that's our website, championsofthepeople.com. Today we're dealing with our typical, usual example of a car crash. You're injured in the car crash. It was the other person's fault. You've been treating for weeks, months, sometimes years. You decide to put an injury claim into the insurance company for the at-fault party, the person who hits you, and sent you reeling and sent you down to the emergency room and off to the doctors and offer months of medical treatment. And so you submit the claim to the insurance company, and they say, we're not going to pay you. And you say, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, your person rear-ended me. You're not going to pay me. No, because it was a sudden emergency. That's why you need to listen to this show. You get the rules, the rules of the road right here. If you don't know the rules on the road, you're lost. If you don't follow a recipe when you cook, you're lost. If you don't follow directions on how to put a product together when you buy it, same thing. If you don't use your navigation system when you're getting your car and you don't know where you're going, where are you going to end up? A legal game plan, a strategy. We wrote a book called Legal Game Plan. We put over 30 years of our experience into that book. You can have it for free at our website, championsofthepeople.com. And you can get any of our books. We have 6 books. You can get them free. And if you call our law firm, we'll send you a hard copy. You can download an e-copy on our website. So we have the cases in Colorado, Kendrick versus Pippin. We had Young versus Clark. They were talking about sudden emergencies. Then there came a time there was a snow and ice case, and basically the famous snow and ice case and in the Bedore case and in the Young case before. So basically it said, the person said there was snow and ice out there, but that was a sudden emergency. And then one of the arguments in front of the Colorado Supreme Court was, well, she, the defendant, testified she knew it was raining, she knew it was snowing, and she knew there was going to be ice and snow, so she expected it.
Right. The doctrine of sudden emergency, to the extent you can even argue it anymore, or to the extent you want to bring it in the back door, is requires that there has to be a sudden and unexpected emergency or event which was not caused by the person's own negligence. So, you know, you're talking about the fact that there has to be a sudden and unexpected emergency. Well, how often do you really get into a sudden and unexpected emergency when you're driving, especially when the favorite use of the sudden emergency doctrine for defense lawyers and for defendants and for insurance companies forever on a consistent basis was the fact that it was snow or ice. They ran into ice. They didn't realize that patch was going to be an icy patch. They hadn't expected the snow and ice. And it was always just a constant battle to respond and get people to understand, well, wait a minute. You got up in the morning and you looked outside and you saw that snow and ice out there. You saw the roads, or you got on the roads and you started driving and you saw what was there. And now the question is once again, when we're talking about a crash under those circumstances, now there's some other ones we can talk about, but when you're talking about a crash under those circumstances, you probably got down and you went down Santa Fe, or you went down Broadway, or you went down a road, and there were probably hundreds, if not thousands, of cars that went down that road before and after you that didn't have a crash. But yet you're saying, well, wait a minute, I had a crash because that snow and ice caused me to crash, and that was a sudden emergency, and I'm not responsible for that. And they would get that instruction, saying if they were faced or presented with a sudden emergency, an unexpected event. And they'd always say, well, it was unexpected that I would go sliding into the other person. It was unexpected that I'd lose control of my car on the ice or in the snow, and that I would, or in the heavy rain where I hydroplane, and I would go crashing into somebody and hurt him. But yet all these other cars did it. All the other cars got by. They didn't have a problem. And you were the only one. And then you start saying, what were you doing different than everybody else when driving in snow and ice? What were you doing different when driving in heavy traffic, or when driving in the heavy rain? What were you doing different that shouldn't allow you to be claiming it's a sudden emergency?
Sudden emergencies, you need to understand them. You want to understand them because that affects your claim. It affects your claim with the insurance company and how much money they're going to pay you. And if they claim a sudden emergency, they don't want to pay you anything. I mean, listen, you might have $100,000 of medical bills, $25,000, $200,000. I mean, we've done cases where the medical bills are over $1 million. The medical bills. And they don't want to pay any part of it. And the medical bills, as you know, are just one part of your damage. It's just one part, not the whole thing. Not all categories. And they don't want to pay because there was a sudden emergency. They, meaning the insurance company. And Brad just said a minute ago, he said they get an instruction, meaning jury instruction, meaning the law that applies to your case. You need to know that, and your attorney has to know that at the very, very beginning. At the outset, the genesis of the claim, an injury claim, is putting the facts into the law. The law is now in sudden emergency, the case of Bedore versus Johnson, decided by the Colorado Supreme Court. And they said the Colorado Supreme Court looked at the deposition of the defendant, the at-fault driver, looked at the deposition, and basically in these line of cases said that the defendant testified, the driver, the at-fault driver testified, that she realized there was, she looked outside before she got in her car, and she realized there was snow on the road. So there's a reasonable expectation that there's going to be snow and ice. So they can't use a sudden emergency to avoid responsibility and liability. But Brad, as you and I both know, the Bedore versus Johnson case said you can't use sudden emergency, but they try in different backdoor methods and indirect ways to use it against you.
Well, sure. And the thing that's amazing about it is when they argue the sudden emergency, and once again, if your lawyer is letting them use the term sudden emergency, your lawyer is probably not up to date on what's going on. And your lawyer needs to get up to date Bedore versus Johnson was decided in 2013. So, you know, the first words that the lawyer should be saying in response to any statement of, quote, sudden emergency, the minute you hear those words, is to say that that doesn't apply anymore. That's gone. That doesn't matter. Now, what matters now, and the funny thing about the sudden emergency doctrine is it seemed to lessen the standard of care at times when really the standard of care should have been heightened. We should have been requiring a greater standard of care, not a lesser standard of care. And for when we talk about this, we talk about a standard of care. When you get into your car, you have a standard of care. You need to drive your car as a reasonably prudent person would drive a car under the circumstances. And when you start trying to apply those circumstances or what that means, you know, you can be a jury. And you can sit there and pretend you're a juror right now. Everybody listening, pretend you're a juror and say, what do I say? What do I believe is a reasonable standard of care? How should a reasonably prudent person drive their car? And if you're looking outside and you're seeing a sunny day, dry streets, no gravel, it's a great visibility, great traction, everything's going good, your car's in great shape, your tires are in great shape, you say there's a particular standard of care or way that I expect myself to drive that car, and I expect everybody else to drive their car. That's what I expect. Now we start going to the next step, and we start saying, well, let's add in that it's a day when you have lack of visibility, where the visibility is not as great. And it seemed like sudden emergency always lessened the standard of care, saying, well, you don't have to be as careful. Because now, if you get in a crash, you can say, well, the visibility was bad, so I'm not responsible, so everything's fine. And you didn't have to drive as a reasonably prudent person under this new circumstance of roads are dry, I can drive along, but my visibility's poor. So as a reasonably prudent person, should I be driving in a different standard of care?
Right. You can give us a call anytime at 303-795-5900, 795-5900, or go to our website. You can email us, championsofthepeople.com. You can contact us. You get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. And you can have a copy of our book if you want it. Most people do when they come in, they want the copy of the legal game plan book. You need a strategy or strategies. Sudden emergency. You cannot create your own sudden emergency. So when a diabetic is non-compliant, passes out, crashes into you, they cannot call that a sudden emergency. But they try. You and your attorney, you know, at Bell and Pollock, here's what we do. We try to never let the insurance company's attorneys in trial even mention the word sudden emergency. We file a motion to have the judge enter an order that they can't use those words. And so the law school definition, the typical law school definition of negligence, Brad is a reasonably careful person. What would they do under the same or similar circumstances? And that's where you want to head.
Right. And that's where sometimes you have to look at circumstances going way back prior to the crash. You have to look at circumstances maybe going a seconds prior to the crash, but you have to talk about what the reasonably prudent or reasonably careful person would do. And that's why the instruction, the jury instruction, our Supreme Court stated it should no longer be given because it misled, it didn't properly instruct on what was going on with regard to the person. Because when you get out there and start driving, you have to be ready for certain circumstances. When you start driving, you have to be ready for certain circumstances. When you first get in the car and it's and your windshield's iced over, well, you need to scrape off the windshield, period. You need to be able to see where you're going. Now, if all of a sudden you cause a crash because you changed lanes and you didn't scrape off your back window, and you didn't see, or your side window, you didn't see somebody, you can't look and say, well, it's a sudden emergency because it was snowing. The reason the crash occurred was because you didn't have the right precautions taken before you drove or while you were driving to make sure you could see people.
You can't, you know, that you say this might sound simplistic, but simplistic turns into complicated because they don't want to pay you. So next up, what if they say, you know, I hit you, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was snow and ice. I'm sorry, there was black ice. I'm so sorry. And the insurance company says, we're sorry. Sorry that you're hurt. Sorry you have $100,000 in medical bills, but we're not going to pay you. Bell and Pollock. Champions of the People. We'll be right back.